going to join together and praise the Lord just in singing of some hymns, just as people gather in. So we're going to start with hymn 403. That's 403. And we're just going to sing the first two verses and the chorus of this one, please. Thank you. Just turn over a couple of pages to number 410, and we'll maybe just sing one verse. We'll actually start with the last verse, verse 4 in the chorus, just of this one, please. That's a strange thing to do, isn't it? Start with the last verse, but it's a lovely verse. Just sing one more before we start into our service proper. Number 262, days are filled with sorrow and care, and we'll sing the first and the second verse of this one as well. You're singing well. Let's praise the Lord as we worship Him in song.
Jesus is there.
going to, first of all, I'd like to welcome you all to the service tonight, whether you're in the meeting tonight or you're listening online. We're glad to have you with us and to join here as we worship the Lord and hear what he has to say from his words today. And we just thank you, thank Pastor Taylor for joining us this evening, and he'll bring in the word to us later on. We'll just start proper by singing number 405, in the hymn book. And what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. You know, that's the prayer of every Christian here tonight. If you're gathered in tonight and you're not saved, that the Lord would make that change in your life. And if you are a Christian tonight, let's sing out and rejoice for the change that is in our lives, because we're not what we used to be, but we're saved by God's almighty grace and what that means to us. Number 405, and we'll stand to sing. Thank you.
Oh,
That's a great song to sing, and thank you for singing so well. We're just going to bring our meeting to the Lord now in prayer, and we're just going to ask for the Lord's help in the meeting tonight. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can find ourselves in this house once again tonight, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the songs that we've been singing, songs of joy, songs of deliverance, songs of hope, Lord, of what's to come for the believer, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for those of us that are saved, Lord, that you've changed our lives. And Lord, we have that hope and that assurity that someday we will spend eternity with you in heaven praising you, Lord. Lord, we even think of the singing tonight, Lord, and how in heaven we'll sing together in one accord, Lord. And we long for that and look for that day, Lord, when we'll be able to be there singing praises unto the throne. And Lord, we just pray for this meeting tonight, Lord, that you would be among us, Lord. We pray for all those that are gathered in, Lord. We thank you that your word is fresh and true every day, Lord. We pray for the one that would bring that message to us from your word. We pray that you'd be with him, Lord, and you'd lead and guide him, that you'd bring to his remembrance the things that you would have him to say, Lord, and that every word would find a place in someone's heart tonight, Lord. We realize, Lord, that we've all different needs in this meeting tonight, Lord. Lord, some are gathered in and have troubles and have burdens, and Lord, we thank you that we can take them to you. Lord, some are gathered in, Lord, and maybe they're not saved, Lord. And Lord, tonight we pray that tonight they would see your Son on Calvary, Lord. And Lord, that they would turn and look and live as the song goes, Lord. And Lord, that their feet would be planted on that new path, Lord. And that tonight they would turn around, Lord, and Lord, they'd be steered from a lost eternity in hell to heaven with you, Lord. And we just pray that that would be the case. Maybe there's one or two in the meeting tonight, Lord, that are backslidden, cold of heart, Lord. We pray also you'd have a message for them. Lord, we thank you that you can meet each and every need of every person gathered in this meeting tonight, Lord. And we praise and thank you. You are the God of the impossible, Lord. Lord, we just even pray for those that can't be with us tonight, Lord. Many, Lord, laid up and that are sick, Lord, that would just love to be out, Lord. The ones that maybe spent years upon years in this place, Lord, and at troubles and Lord, burdens their heart to know that they can't be out, Lord. But Lord, as they listen online, we just pray you'd speak to them. Or maybe, Lord, there's just one that'll stumble even across the meeting tonight online, Lord. We just pray that you'd even speak to them. Lord, we thank you that you have said in your word that you will be one of our number. And we just pray, Lord, as we meet together here tonight, that you indeed, Lord, would come amongst us and would bless us. But Lord, most of all, we just pray tonight, Lord, that whatever is said and done, Lord, that your name will be lifted up, Lord, that you will be exalted, Lord, and Lord, that you will receive all the honor and all the glory for everything that's done in this meeting tonight, Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand again. We're going to sing hymn number 312. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. We'll stand to sing.
Thank you.
Well, we're especially glad to have the Kingdomers. Am I right in saying do you know what? When you're standing up here, sometimes you get a mind blank. And I think it's the Kingdomers. I'm right in saying the Kingdomers. We're glad to have them along tonight. And we're just going to ask them to come now and sing their first two pieces for us now. Thank you.
Strange and divine, I can say all is mine.
Two pieces of stage. You know, I'm just laughing or giggling sitting back here. You know, when you're sitting down the pulpit or down there and I'm watching everybody and I can see everybody's lips moving as they sing along. Sometimes you'd love to just join in, wouldn't you? But I'm sitting back here and I'm thinking, but everybody can see me. So need to be careful. Thank you very much. Brian, if you could bring the announcements, that would be good. Thank you.
Well, good evening. Can I add my welcome? Appreciate it's good to see a good number out this evening, and we thank you for that, and trust indeed the Lord will bless our time together, and I believe he already has. Again, thank you to the Kingdomers. I don't think he's need a welcome, so it's always good to have his men. Gordy maybe come down and join you. Paul's missing the night, so Gordy's maybe going to come down and slip in with you there this evening, but we always appreciate your ministry. Thank you for that again this evening. It's good to have Pastor Taylor back with us this evening. We really appreciate his ministry this morning. And it's always good to renew fellowship with our brother John, so we thank him again for his help throughout the day. After the gospel serve, the youth fellowship meet, and their subject tonight is a leopard can't change its spots, and another one bites the dust. So again, just remind the young people of that. As our habit, in parallel with that, whenever the youth fellowship's on, we'll be having a prayer time for the young people and also for the pastoral vacancy. So if you can, don't rush away. Wait behind and have that time of prayer with us. It's an important matter. Then the incoming week, Wednesday night, 6:45, Searchers, 8 p.m. to a Bible study and prayer meeting. And again, Paul McCreary will be back with us, God willing, on Wednesday night. Then Thursday morning, 10:30, Tiny Tots. And then through to Saturday evening, Youth Fellowship. They're meeting again, a Sports and Challenge night. And that's in the Multipurpose Hall. And that's from 8 through to around 10. And then just finally, it takes us through to next Lord's Day, 10:15 in the morning, the Sunday School and the Bible class. And then the service, 11:30 and 6:30, always preceded by times of prayer. And our brother Martin Thompson is the expected speaker. That's all the announcements this evening. Always made subject to the Lord's will.
Thank you, Brian, for bringing announcements. He was announcing the Youth Fellowship. Maybe there's some of the older ones even tonight that have left Youth Fellowship. If you want to join us tonight, you are more than welcome. The Youth Fellowship isn't limited in an age as such. If you're feeling young tonight, maybe you've left recently or whatever, and you aren't doing anything, by all means, come and join us tonight. We're going to just ask the Kingdom Heirs to bring their last message and song, and then we're just going to pass over to Pastor Taylor there to bring the word. Thank you.
I normally say whenever I go to the gospel meeting, it's lovely to be alone. I can't say that. Every time I come to sing through the same, I have to say the worst experiences. You know, it's good to be able to get up and sing about what the Lord has done for us. I was thinking whenever I come into the Irish here on duty, and Gary says, "How long are you going now?" And I said, "Well, you guess." Gary guessed 20 years. He was wrong. We're going 30 years this May, I think it is. You know, as I was sitting there thinking about it, how good has God been to each of us. You know, whenever we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, just don't come to him for salvation. You know, he walks with us, he keeps us. We heard about it this morning in church here, how we can delight ourselves in the Lord. This next piece that we're going to sing is one we haven't sang for a long, long time. It's entitled Unworthy. And you know, tonight as we stand at the front, we're unworthy of what Christ has done for us at the cross of Calvary. Tonight if you're in the meeting on Saved, you're unworthy. But praise God tonight, you can be made worthy because of the precious blood that was shed. I pray tonight you will know him as your Savior, that you'll come to know him tonight. I'm worthy.
Lifted the shame. No Thanks to the King of Mayors for their ministry tonight. It's been an absolute blessing, as always. And thank you for the invitation to come to share with you today. And it's been a privilege to do that as well. And just because before we come to God's Word, let's just bow for a moment quietly in prayer. Father, we thank you so much tonight to know the joy of sins forgiven. We know, our Father, that we were totally unworthy of the grace that you have lavished upon us. And yet, our Father, in our greatest need, you reached out toward us with a heart of love, lifted us out of the mire of our sin, and brought us to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We thank you for the blessing that the Kingdom Heirs have been to us again tonight. We thank you for their ministry over all these years and pray that you will continue to bless them and use them for your glory in the days to come. As we come just now quietly for the time that remains to think about your word of truth, Father, we ask that you would speak into our hearts, to the youngest, to the very oldest, and Father, that you would help us to realize tonight our great need personally of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. So bless the reading and the preaching of your word. We commend everything to you in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Amen. Let me read to you tonight, first of all, just a couple of verses that are found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. I'm sure for many of us this is a very, very familiar passage, and I'm not going to take time to read it. I just want to break into the reading in Luke 23 at verse 32. Luke 23, verse 32, and it says this: "And there were also two other malefactors laid with him," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, "to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Then one other verse that is found in Galatians chapter 6. I'm sure it's a verse that many of us know. It's verse 14. And the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 6, verse 14, these words: "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Amen. God will bless these two short readings from his word tonight. Someone asked me quite recently this question: "Why do people like you preach so much about the cross?" That's a very interesting question, isn't it? And we'll be singing a hymn tonight in closing that really explains it. For that hymn says, "I must needs go home by the way of the cross." And you and I could never, ever say enough about the significance of the cross. No place has captured the imagination of people like the cross has done. No death has ever been spoken of as often and caused as much debate as the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross at Calvary. And interestingly, as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, his death was a prophetic fulfillment. Throughout his own earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ referred to this. Time and time again, he spoke to others about the need and the necessity of his death upon the cross. He was God's suffering servant, a servant described for us in the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53, hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ was ever born. And those words say this: surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah penned those words hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ was ever born. And yet Jesus Christ, throughout his earthly ministry, understood that he was God's suffering servant. As far as his death was concerned, he anticipated it. He knew why he had come from the heights of heaven into this old world of sin. And he came knowing that the cross lay at the very center of his vocation. And of course, he knew also that the cross was central to the plan and purpose of God for the saving of a world that was lost in sin. So the Lord Jesus Christ understood the importance of the cross as far as his ministry was concerned. You and I who are saved tonight understand the significance of the cross, because there was a time in our experience where every single one of us came to the foot of an old rugged cross, and in simple faith we repented of our sin and we trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. That's how we know, and that's why we know, that tonight we are bound for heaven and for home. But I want you to see tonight how the Apostle Paul viewed the significance of the cross through this great verse we find in Galatians 6, verse 14. Paul says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Now that's a tremendous verse, and I'm sure it's a verse that many of us know off by heart. But I want to take it tonight, and I want to seek to explain to you, in a sense, the significance of the cross to the Apostle Paul. You see, there are many people tonight who know about the cross, and they know about the place called Calvary, and they know that the Lord Jesus Christ one day died on that cross at Golgotha's hillside, and that's all that they know. We all sing hymns about the cross. We hear people speak about the cross. But the question we need to ask ourselves tonight is this: is the cross and all that was accomplished on that cross personal to each one of us as we sit in this meeting? You can sing about the cross. You can know about the great hymns of the cross. You can hear about the cross being preached Sunday night after Sunday night. But the question is, has the cross changed your life in the same way that it changed the life of the Apostle Paul? Remember, this man brought up, steeped in religion. This man speaks on various occasions in the Acts of the Apostles about his own life, how he was brought up, how he was zealous for Judaism and all that he had learned as a Pharisee. But one day, according to Acts chapter 9, everything changed for the Apostle Paul. A voice from heaven spoke to him, and Paul came to know, as a result of that experience in Acts chapter 9, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And that's why the cross was important to Paul. And he says here, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let me very quickly say a few things about that and the significance of the cross to the Apostle Paul. First of all, Paul knew the purpose of the cross. Paul knew the purpose of the cross. You see, whenever Paul writes to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says this: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven with all its glory. And he stepped from eternity into time, and he came as a babe into Bethlehem's manger. He came to bear away sin by the offering of himself. He came to put away sin through his death on that cruel cross at Calvary. And there was no other way that a sinful world could ever be saved. There was no other way that sinners like you and I could ever have been saved. You and I were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. That sin that you and I were born in separates us from a thrice holy God. There was absolutely nothing that you and I could do to save ourselves. But the Lord Jesus Christ came. He stepped into this world of ours, and he came, Paul says, to save sinners. See, friends, the folks have been singing tonight those words, unworthy. They've acknowledged that they're here tonight singing, though they're unworthy, because they've been reached by the grace of God. Because their lives have been saved and Christ is their Savior. That's the only hope they had. That's the only hope I had. That's the only hope that you have. I don't think any of us would disagree that when we look out at the world in which we live tonight, that it seems as if the world is falling apart at the seams. We see the evidence, not just in our own society, but right across the world in which we live. We see the evidence of how sin has ravaged the lives of men and women and young people, and we could spend the rest of the night thinking about that alone, because here's the thing about sin. It will always take us further than we ever intend to go. James says that sin, when it comes and we submit to sin, then sin enslaves us and sin ruins us. But friend, tonight, here's good news. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Sinners like me. Sinners like you. And the only way that he could do that was to go to that cross at Calvary and there bear away your sin and mine in his own body on that tree. Cecil Francis Alexander has written a number of hymns and poems often associated with children. But when she wrote that hymn, "There is a green hill far away outside the city wall," she reminds us of this truth that I'm saying to you tonight. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin, for he only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Maybe tonight you're weary of your sin. Maybe you look at life and the mess that you've made, and you're saying to yourself, "Well, I wish that this was true." I can assure you it's true. Not because I say it, but because the Word of God declares it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul knew that. He knew that that was the very purpose of the cross. He knew himself that because of that fact and because of that cross, his life that day was changed on the Damascus Road. Paul knew the purpose of the cross. That's why he gloried in it. The second thing is this, that Paul knew the person on the cross. I say again, it's one thing to know about the cross and yet not know from experience what it's all about. How did Paul know? Well, I've already said about that day on the Damascus Road. Whenever the risen Lord Jesus Christ confronted Paul, this man who was so traditional in his ways, cradled in Judaism, he says himself that he was head and shoulders above the contemporaries of his day. He sat at the feet of a man called Gamaliel. Paul had everything going for him in life, but he was going down the wrong path, and he was living the wrong life, and he was doing the wrong things until that day when he was saved. Do you know how he explains it? He says, the Son of God loved me, and he gave himself for me. Isn't that wonderful? The Son of God loved me. He gave himself for me. Paul says, this is about me. I know not only the purpose of the cross and why Christ came to save sinners, but Jesus came to save me. The Son of God loved me, and he gave himself for me. Do you know, if someone asked me tonight, Pastor, will you be in heaven because you're a preacher? I'll say no. Will you be in heaven because you've lived all these years as a Christian? I'll say no. And if they said to me, well, why will you then be in heaven? Simple. Christ died for me. Isn't that wonderful? That's what Paul says in Romans 5. He says that God commendeth or demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. That's the personal nature of salvation. And Paul knew it, and that's why Paul gloried in the cross. He knew that Christ had stepped into the world to die for sinners, to seek and to save that which was lost, and Paul was lost. But he says, the Son of God loved me, and he gave himself for me. Friend, tonight, I don't know who you are. I don't even know where you've come from. I don't know whether you're saved or whether you're not. I know nothing about that. But I'm going to say this. If you're not saved tonight, there's a man in the glory who loves you, and who loved you so much that one day he went to an old rugged cross. There he died for your sin, and there he shed his own precious blood that your sins might be forgiven. You know, recently I met a young girl go out in the street sometimes, and I met this young girl in the street, tried to explain to her that God loved her. I quoted to her all the verses that you and I know off by heart, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And I quoted other verses to this girl to try to underline the fact that God loved her, that Christ died for her, that the blood of Christ could cleanse her. And she looked at me and she says, I don't believe that anybody could love me like that. Is that how you feel? Pastor Taylor, I'm too bad a man or a woman or young person. If only you knew the life that I lived, if only you knew the sin that marks my life, if only you knew the things that are buried out of sight, I would never want anybody to know about. It doesn't matter, God already knows. And yet with all of that, there was a man who went one day to the cross to die for those sins. Every single one of them. It doesn't matter tonight how deep down in sin we might be. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you know, there are many things about the Christian life that fill my soul with gladness and passion. But for me to know tonight that my sins are gone, Every single one of them, they're under the blood. There's nothing like it. I'm saying to you, if you'd come as a sinner to Jesus, your sins could all be forgiven. Every single one of them, on account of him who died for your sins at the cross. Paul gloried in the cross because Paul knew the purpose of the cross. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul knew the person on the cross. This wasn't abstract for Paul. This wasn't just something he thought about, or perhaps it might be true. Paul says, the Son of God loved me, and he gave himself for me. Here's the third thing. Paul knew the power of the cross. I wouldn't have time tonight to describe the kind of man that Paul was, though the scriptures are clear about that and you can read it for yourself. But you know, this man was a violent man. This man went about, before he was saved, he went about taking Christians, casting them into prison, putting their feet in stocks, trying to stamp out this new religion in Paul's mind. This man wanted nothing to do with Christ. This man did everything he could to destroy the gospel, until that day when he was converted to Christ, he realized something about the gospel and how it can transform the life of a man. And Paul would later testify in these words, "It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me." That's what changed the man. And not only he himself had been changed by the gospel, but he believed that all men or women could be saved by the same gospel and changed. You go through the book of Romans, you listen to Paul as that great treatise on the gospel unfolds before us, and you know what Paul says in a simple statement? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Friend, listen. If God in his grace and mercy hadn't have broken into my life and transformed me and made me what I am today, I wouldn't be here. And God can do the same in your life. He did it for Paul. He has done it for millions. He's doing it across the world tonight. And he can do it for you sitting in this meeting. You say, "Pastor, I'd love to believe that. My life's a mess. My marriage is broken. I've ruined absolutely everything." You're the very person God can take and change in you, and he can give you a life that's worth the living. Isn't that wonderful? I could give one testimony after another of people that I know, people I ran around with, people who were in and out of prison, people who had no time for God, never set foot in a church all their lives, and there was a day when they came to know Jesus. And they were transformed by the power of the gospel, just as Paul was, just as I was, and just as you could be tonight too. Let me say something else. Paul also knew the problem with the cross. You say, "What problem?" But Paul says to the Corinthians, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation." Did everybody listen to Paul? No. Paul went out to all arts and parts where people had never been with the gospel before. The Acts of the Apostles show us the spread of the gospel, the souls that were saved, the churches that were formed, the people were blessed, and the people who were saved. Did everybody follow his word? No. Because there were people who thought that the preaching of the gospel was absolute foolishness. Nothing's changed. I have people tell me when I try to talk to them, witness to them, share the gospel with them, they'll say to me, "Do you know something? That's the most foolish thing I've ever heard." Foolish. That's what they said to Paul. Because they were too intellectual to believe that a man would actually die on a cross for the sin of someone else. And Paul was under no illusion. He said the preaching of the cross is to them that what? Perish. This foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Let me ask you something. And I'll close. I'm mindful of the time and the youth and everything else. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved tonight and on your way to heaven? Or have you continued all your life to reject the gospel and tonight you're perishing? It's bad enough that you sit in a meeting like this perishing in time. But if you reject the gospel and reject Christ, you'll perish in a lost eternity with no hope of reprieve. Do you know the saddest thing about that? The fact that some of you have known the gospel perhaps all your life, cradled in the gospel, parents who prayed for you, grandparents who brought you to meetings, you look back over a long, long number of years, and you know the gospel inside out. You know the purpose of the cross, you know why Jesus came. You know the power of the cross. You know that your life could be transformed. And yet you still don't know the person who died on that cross for you. Who gave his life that you might live, shed his blood that you might have your sins forgiven. You can know so much about the cross, but if you don't know the one who died on that center cross for your sin, nothing else will suffice in the light of eternity. Do you know one of my favorite little choruses, and I would ask you to make it your own? Wounded for me. Wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. God, my transgressions, and now I am free. Why? All because Jesus was wounded for me. He took my place, paid my debt, and died my death. Friend, tonight he did the same for you. Why will you not come to the foot of the cross and say this evening as we close, "I do believe, I will believe that Jesus died for me." I tell you this, it will be a life-changing experience. Let's sing together our closing hymn tonight. It's 623, "I Must Needs Go Home by the Way of the Cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss." Don't miss it tonight. Talk with me at the end, but trust the Savior. Let's stand and sing after the introduction.
Thank you.
Father, thank you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners just like us. And thank you that in order for us to be saved, he went to that cross at Calvary, dealt with our sin, and shed his own precious blood that we might have our sins forgiven, and that by faith we might embrace salvation. Grant our Father that none of us will leave this meeting tonight without it. Help us, Lord, we pray, to come by faith to the cross, trust the one who died that we might live, be able to go home singing, "The way of the cross has led me home." Thank you for our time together today. Thank you for the ministry tonight in song. We commend the young people to you as they meet in a few moments' time together, and pray that you would richly bless them. For those who go home, we pray that you'll part us quietly and take us safely home. And we ask all these things in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Amen.